Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here, Unity Center of Light in Bowie, Maryland. We look forward to bringing this service from our home to your home. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. We will now have our daily word reading for Sunday, August the 16th. The key word is protected, and the affirmation is, I shine my light and feel protected. Feelings of fear that creep into my life may conjure childhood memories of scary nighttime images and noises. As a child, I may have felt afraid of the dark or startled by an unfamiliar sound. But the morning sun always dispelled the darkness, and I realized there was nothing to fear. I keep that knowledge alive as I let the divine presence within dissolve the darkness of fear and shine the light of comfort and safety. Now, when any darkness descends in my life, I remember the protecting love, presence, and power of God expressing as me. As I attune more fully to my divine nature, light dawns within my consciousness, and I realize that God's protection is always mine. The scripture reading is from Psalm 27:1, and it reads, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Well, good morning. We are starting a new series called Prayer, Let's Get to It, right? And I've watched so many different videos, read so many different things on this that my mind is just kind of boggled with all the thoughts about it. So in this lesson, we're going to mostly focus on prayer as opposed to meditation. Now, the difference being that meditation is often thought of as stilling the monkey chatter in our minds. I think you know what I'm talking about. Whereas prayer, from a simplistic viewpoint, is often thought of as talking to God about what is happening in our lives. And yes, you know, there is more to it than that, you know, but we just keep trying to keep it simple from right now because there is a lot more to this process, which we'll get to maybe over the next few weeks. But because even though we can find different definitions for each of these, they both really have the same basic purpose, which is to establish a divine connection between us, the creation, and God, the creator. That's really what prayer and meditation are both about, okay? Now, Thomas Merton's advice about prayer is just take time to do it, okay? Which is like the title of this lesson is Prayer, Let's Get to It, all right? So I know we all have many different excuses about why we can't pray. I hear people saying that there's so much other stuff going through their minds and so forth. But the idea of it is that it's like any other thing you're trying to establish in your life. The more you put time you put into it, the more you become attuned to it, all right? And actually you get to a place, at least it happened to me, where spirit keeps reminding you of it. Unfortunately, spirit reminds me of it at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, and I have to negotiate sometime. I tell Pam sometime when we sleep a little later, I go, boy, I had to negotiate with spirit to be able to sleep later. So now I got to get up and do my meditation, you know. But it's sort of that kind of thing where you really become, it becomes a really regular part of your life, all right? But Thomas Merton also says prayer is the act of finding your center, okay? Which is a central place within you around which all the complexities of your life revolve. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on. But as is explained in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your inner room, all right? That inner room that Matthew is talking about is your center, okay? So with all the complexities, all the things that are going on in your life, you have this center. And that's what Jesus is saying, go into that center, okay? And Thomas Merton also explains that to pray is to speak to God honestly about what is troubling you, all right? I don't know how to emphasize this enough, that you are stepping into a purely non-judgmental environment in prayer. So you can share your deepest whatever, you know, in that prayer process. Psalms 25:1-5, we read, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." All right. So take time to pray throughout the day, sharing your deepest thoughts with God. And don't be afraid to share your deepest thoughts. And after you've prayed, you know, the prayer about the complexity in your life, then it's time to be still and listen. All right. Now, Thomas Aquinas explains that the will, our will, has two basic moves that it does, all right? One is to seek the good in your life that you feel that you're missing. So a lot of times our will is saying, all right, I need to pray because I got stuff I need God to do, all right? So you're seeking this stuff in your life that you're missing. And this is when you pray asking God to fulfill your needs. But once you become assured through the prayer process that the good you seek is yours, then it is the job of the will to sit quietly in that knowing, okay? So Thomas Aquinas is saying there's two things the will does, which is one, is it seeks the things in your life that you feel you're missing. But two, once you've established this prayer process with God where you feel and you know that your prayer is going to be answered, then you need to sit quietly in that knowing. Okay, so the purpose of prayer being to evoke a sense of knowing that what you are praying for is already yours. Now, remember that word evoke, because we're going to get back to that. So again, the purpose of prayer being to evoke a sense of knowing that what you're praying for is already yours. That's the real key. Now, listen to this story, and I think I got this from an Eckhart Tolle book. And it's talking about the idea, it's a story about evoking and perceiving and the effect of what effect it has on what we're asking for in prayer. So how evoking and perceiving has an effect on what we're asking for in prayer. And this, oh, so it came from A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. Now, Earth, 114 million years ago, I actually used this story maybe 10 years ago, okay? So this is Earth, 114 million years ago. One morning, thank you. Yeah, you're right with it, sweetie. One morning, Let me just go back and start that over. I wanted to put this up because I want you to be able to read it with me. Okay, so Earth, 114 million years ago, one morning, just after sunrise, okay, the first flower ever to appear on the earth opens to receive the rays of sun. Now, prior to this momentous event that heralds an evolutionary transformation in life of plants, the planet had already been covered by vegetation for millions of years. But the first flower probably did not survive for long, and flowers must have remained a rare and isolated phenomena since conditions were most likely not yet favorable for the widespread flowering to occur. But one day, however, a critical threshold was reached, and suddenly there would have been an explosion of color and scents all over the planet if only, that's the key, this is the key to the rest of the talk, if only a perceiving consciousness had been there to witness it. Okay, that's the idea that we're working with, is we've got to get to this place where we are understanding the dynamics of a perceiving consciousness, okay? Without that ability, we cannot bring into and hold things in manifestation, if that makes any sense to you at all. So we're going to try to understand how the power of evoking and the power of perceiving, okay, has a real effect on how we bring the answers to our prayers into expression, right? Now, again, what is being explained in this story is the magnificent beauty of the flower could not have the permanent existence until there was a consciousness that was capable of perceiving its beauty. That's also along the lines of what we talk about when we do delve a little bit into quantum physics. So the word perceive means to become aware, which is the essence of this lesson about prayer. Simply, when you are praying for something, whatever that happens to be for you, you must be able to perceive it as already being part of your reality. Now, we have talked about that particular point before, but we want to expand on that idea. So it's like you're praying knowing, okay, as opposed to praying hoping. So in prayer, the word evoke, remember that word evoke, means to summon or call forth into your mind that which you desire by naming it and claiming it. So for example, in a prayer for health, you would evoke perfect health by naming it and claiming it. Now, I'm going to share an affirmation with you that I use, and I don't even think Pamela knows I use this affirmation. And it's an affirmation I write in my journal nightly. It is, I am grateful that Pamela and I are whole and well, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, and getting stronger and healthier every day. So not only am I naming what I want, I'm also claiming it as being our reality by the use of the statement, I am grateful that, all right? So there was no asking, there is being grateful that it's already being done. That's sort of the concept we're working with. So the ability to evoke what you want by naming it and claiming it is the very essence of what we're striving to learn how to do in prayer, okay? And like the flower, in the opening story, God is always expressing in our minds in God's fullness as the answer to our prayers. But if we're not perceiving the fullness that God is expressing, then like the first flower, the fullness goes away and we're left wondering why God is not answering our prayer. Okay? So it is important to understand that God is always being God, right? You know, there are times we're not being what we need to be, but God is always being God. God doesn't even have a choice to not be God, okay? And again, but we're not always mindful of the reality that God is always being God. So the idea behind the title of this series, Prayer, Let's Get to It, is to inspire each of us to spend the time and prayer needed to develop the ability to perceive that God is always being God. Meaning God is always seeking to press forth into manifestation as that which you are asking for in prayer, okay? Now, as another author said, and let me just share this slide with you, all right? It says, God is always pressing forward into fuller and fuller expression of itself in the particular form of life we ask for, but God can only do so in strict accordance with the conditions with each form provide for its manifestation. In other words, God can only, the other way I'd say that is that we hold a cookie cutter mold in our mind by our thoughts, okay? And based on the cookie cutter mold we're having in our mind, God is constantly pouring itself into that cookie cutter mold. So it's constantly trying to bring into manifestation what you want. But you have to hold in consciousness what you want so that when God pours itself, God being God, pours itself into what you're thinking, that that's what comes into manifestation, okay? And as another author explains it, the universe rearranges itself around our states of consciousness. The universe rearranges itself around our states of consciousness, all right? God can only show up in your life in strict accordance with what you are able to perceive as being possible for you to have or experience. Okay? So the key to understanding the purpose of the opening story is the notion that the flower, which crossed the threshold from non-existence to existence, could only survive if there was a consciousness that could perceive and appreciate its beauty. Right? And so it's the same for each one of us. It is our ability to perceive the activity of God in our lives as the answers to our prayers that gives us greater conscious access to receiving God's fullness in our lives. So you, if you're praying and you're thinking that you're not going to be able to get what you're praying for, you're negating the process, okay? It's like you're asking and then taking it away, all right? So your whole being, feelings, emotions, everything have to be tapped into that which you're asking for in prayer. So whereas prayer may be the time in which we ask for specific blessings, okay, silence is where we tap into the fullness of God in our lives, okay? So silence is where we come to know that God is always active in our life and affairs, and this knowing is the beginning of the manifestation of our desires, even before we finish asking, okay? So when you know that God is always active in your life and affairs, and you know that God is part of the consciousness that is going on in your mind, and so what is happening, even in your silence, God is reading what it is that it is you want in your life, okay? So it's this idea of constantly being open and receptive to that process. Now, the Buddha is said to have given a silent sermon, okay, during which all he did was hold up a flower and gaze at it, right? Now, after a while, one of the monks began to smile. That monk is said to be the only one who understood the sermon, right? Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't get it, all right? But according to the legend, that smile indicates realization. So what happened to, you know, Buddha was doing his thing with the flower. The monks were engaging with him. But this one monk tapped into the importance of that silent sermon that Buddha was giving, right? And that tapping into gave him realization. And that realization was handed down by 28 successive monks and eventually became the origin of Zen, okay? So Zen emphasizes experiential discern, particularly as realized in the form of meditation for the attainment of enlightenment. So when you think about Zen, it's experiential. So you are practicing the idea of how to enter into the silence, all right? And you're practicing the idea of how to enter into the silence for the idea of the attainment of enlightenment, okay? So if you really think about it, the idea of enlightenment is not so much, again, about the words you say or the things you do. It's more about understanding the depths of what is happening within your own being, okay? So the practical application of this is when something is happening in your life that's unsettling, through meditative contemplation, you can discern what the experience is trying to teach you. And again, I know I've said that in another lesson, but I'm trying to put all these ideas together. So simply, every experience is a flower being held up for you to meditatively contemplate, just like Buddha did, okay? Buddha was holding the flower and giving a silent sermon. So every experience you have is a flower being held up for you to meditatively contemplate as it is pointing you towards the beauty and the divinity that's already within you. And this is, again, why Jesus counseled us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. First you seek that enlightenment, and then all that other stuff, it just comes, all right? So enlightenment first, awareness, and the things you want in your life, they just come. So just like that first flower that didn't survive because there was no perceiving mind to sustain it, so it is with each one of us. The Christ flower, which is the revealing of your true self, you know, your true purpose for being here, emerges when a critical threshold is reached. Something in your life, all right, has brought you to a critical threshold. And it can happen daily, you know, where you're thrown off because something happened, car didn't work or whatever it might be, okay, or something even more, you know, challenging. But that is, you know, that's that Christ flower coming up. It's a critical threshold to see if you can see that flower and perceive it, okay? It means that this idea is something in your life is calling for you to let go of what you now believe is your reality so that you can awaken to what you are truly capable of manifesting through prayer, okay? So, again, this stuff comes up and you're saying, oh, gosh, you know, this is my reality. We don't say it like that, but you know what I'm talking about. But what is happening, that's a Christ flower coming up for you to back away from your feeling and emotion about that thing so that you can tap into the truth of your being, which will help you to really understand what this is really trying to tell you, okay? But if you have not done the prayer work, this is the key, to prepare yourself to perceive the coming of the Christ flower from within yourself, you will continue as you are. You will continue to experience what you're experiencing, right? Because without the support of the Christ flower, you will not flourish in your mind, and you will not be able to perceive it. If you can't perceive it, then when we can't perceive the Christ flower being handed to us because we've reached this critical threshold where we have the ability to move out of a frustration and into peace. When we miss that critical threshold, and we can't perceive the flower, then we end up just doing what we've been doing, okay? So as is written in Matthew 6:28 and Luke 12:27, Jesus said, you will continue to toil and spin. So, and I've heard some of you in our Zoom session, the Zoom session we do with this, say that you caught yourself, spinning and toiling. And now you can actually give a name to it. You said, oh, that's a critical threshold in which I'm getting ready to have the ability to observe the Christ flower trying to come up in me, okay? And if you can let go of your view of that outside dynamic as being your reality and go within and catch the glimpse of that Christ flower and then, bring it into fruition within yourself, then you will no longer toil and spin, okay? So how do we awaken from the materialistic dream that prevents us from perceiving the Christ flower, that's within us? You've heard me say many times that our spiritual quest is to awaken from the Adam dream that has us believing that we are separate from each other and we are separate from God. So to awaken, we must learn how to separate our awareness from our thoughts. Let me say that again. To awaken, we must learn how to separate our awareness from our thoughts. Okay? Thoughts being the facility, or faculty rather, of the ego. So thoughts are the faculty of the ego. So separating our awareness from our thoughts is trying to separate our awareness from the faculty of the ego, okay? So as a revealing word explains, the thinking faculty is active, zealous, impulsive, and not always wise, all right? Or on a simple psychological level, awareness is your ability to observe your thoughts as if from a distance. So instead of just being in thought, you find that you are being able to observe yourself thinking. And again, these are ideas we've talked about before, all right? So this provides you with a sense of freedom, all right? Now, as Eckhart Tolle explains, and let me just bring up a slide for that, okay?
You have to do it again.
Huh?
You have to do it again because you didn't fix it.
Nope. Sorry.
That's it?
Okay. So, instead of being lost in your thinking, when you begin to awaken spiritually, you recognize yourself as the awareness behind the thinking. So thinking then ceases to be a self-serving, autonomous activity that takes possession of you and runs your life. Awareness takes over from thinking. So instead of in charge of your life, thinking becomes a servant of your awareness. Awareness is conscious connection with universal intelligence. Another name for awareness is divine presence, which is consciousness without thought. Okay, so that's a mouthful, and that's why I wanted to put it up. And again, Eckhart Tolle is known for sharing very deep understanding around concepts like that. So what is consciousness without thought? That, again, I know that's not really clear yet. And I know bringing up some of these ideas is trying to help us to get a deeper understanding of that. But it is the God self within us. Consciousness without thought is the God self within us. So if ego is the faculty, if the thinking faculty is the domain of the ego, then awareness is the domain of our God self, our higher self, our divine self. All right. So if we're constantly caught up in our thought, then we're caught up in the faculty of our ego. But when we're able to stand back mentally and observe the thought without getting wrapped up in it, without toiling and spinning in it, then we're coming from our God self. Okay? So we have always postulated that God just is. Or as is written in John 4:24, God is spirit. The word spirit is defined as the actual, though unstatable. Now, listen to how I said that. Spirit is defined as the actual, though unstatable, sense of significance of something. So it's like somebody says, well, what is spirit or what is God? And you really can't define it because it is unstatable. Okay. Again, that, as we would say, God just is. That's the unstatable. Pure awareness, consciousness without thought, okay, that's the unstatable that God is. So as you pray, be aware that God is not just judging whether or not you are good or not good or deserving or not deserving, because God can't. Because why? God just is. God is consciousness without thought, all right? So it's the divine intelligence, the life force that is always striving to bring us back to a state of wholeness and love. And God does so with a flower in the form of a divine realization of our Christ potential, okay? So Thomas Troward says the greatest challenge to the realization of our innate divine potential is our inability to just take it for granted. Now let me say that again, okay? He's saying the problem we have with understanding our innate divine potential is we are unable to just take it for granted. So up to now, we've been incapable of taking our spirituality for granted. Knowing, for example, that when we pray for the fulfillment of a need or for resources or healing of our body, that we just need to ask knowing that it will be given to us. We need to be able to take it for granted. But to be fair to us, that's not how we were taught, right? We weren't taught to just take it for granted. We were taught that we have to pray hoping instead of simply asking knowing, right? We didn't learn how to take it for granted that when we ask, God would just give it to us, give us what we asked for, right? That's how the great masters see it. They know that when they ask for something, they don't even have to ask because they've reached a point of such connection that all they want keeps coming to them, right? So in the parable Jesus told of the prodigal son and his brother, right? We always talk about the prodigal son, but rarely do we talk about the brother, okay? We are most like the son who stayed at home, okay, believing that he was not entitled to ask for what was rightfully his. Now you're going to say, remember the prodigal son, he said unto his father, he says, "But please give me what is mine, you know, I'm out of here." His father gladly gave it to him. The son who stayed at home did not ask because he didn't feel he was entitled. That's us. We're the son who stayed at home, the son, the daughter who stayed at home because we don't feel entitled to ask God and take it for granted that it's going to be given to us. Granted, I recognize that's a state of consciousness we have to work to get to. But the first step to realization is to know what you don't know. Okay, is to be exposed to concepts that you can work with in order to get you to where you want to be. So the key here is what his father said to him, the son who stayed at home, is the same thing that God is constantly saying to us. The father said to his son, "All that is mine is yours." Okay, and unfortunately, we've had too many experiences to the contrary. Too many experiences where we have asked in prayer and didn't receive. And I understand that. I know as many of you are listening to this, but I've asked and I asked and I asked and I still didn't get it. Let me just tap into that for a moment. We always say, ask and then let it go. If you find yourself asking and asking and asking, I was just listening to a video by a Catholic bishop who really brought an interesting understanding to that. He said, first of all, the reason why you're asking is because it's been put into your consciousness to ask. If you find yourself asking and asking and asking, and it doesn't seem like you're getting answer, it's because you are not ready for the answer yet. So he made the analogy of a of a little girl, too little to ride a bike, and she wants a bicycle. And she keeps asking for a bicycle, and the parents keep saying no, because you're not old enough yet. But she asks continuously, but she's, you know, time goes by, she's growing, she gets bigger, and finally she gets big enough to ride a bike, and the parents say yes, because now she is ready to receive that which she asked for, all right? So if you find yourself asking and asking and asking and feel like you're not getting an answer, it's because in the process of asking, you want to allow yourself to grow to the point where you are now mentally, emotionally, consciously ready to receive that with your asking for. I thought that was an incredible example given by the that Catholic bishop. So, you know, these experiences of not receiving has left us doubtful, all right? And it is this doubt in our minds that Jesus was seeking to free us from by helping us to discover our innate divine potential to the point where we could simply ask in prayer, taking it for granted that God will supply our every need. Okay? Now, that is a mental transition that we have to go through. We have to practice the process. Okay, you have to practice asking and letting go, truly letting go. Right? And if you feel that you need to continuously ask, think about what I was saying, that you can continuously ask as long as you're allowing yourself to grow in each asking to a point where you are developing the wherewithal and consciousness, mind, body, spirit, and so forth to receive that which you're asking for. All right? And yes, there are many connotations of the phrase to take it granted, take it for granted. But in the context of this lesson, to take for granted means to believe it is your prerogative, your privilege, to receive what you ask for in prayer. And that is a statement of truth, okay? It is your prerogative, it is your privilege to receive what you ask for in prayer. And as the father said to the elder son, all that is mine is yours. The father said this to the son in a manner that let the son know that he should take it for granted that he can ask for and receive anything that he wants, okay? And it is as Jesus said in John 11:42, Father, I know you always hear me. Or in Matthew 14:15, when the disciples were complaining that they only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus simply said, bring them to me and have the people sit down. He simply knew, as if taking it for granted, that the abundance of God was available to him and everyone who was there, because he took it for granted. That there was no, and the fact that he took it for granted meant that there was no chatter in his mind to the contrary. So if you think about how can I work with this process of taking it for granted, you've got to look at the chatter that's going on in your mind that's contradicting that which you're asking for. Okay, so I read a quote recently to explain that the best use of the human mind is the ability to turn it off. Right? Now that may sound ridiculous, but maybe not so in the context, again, of this lesson. Prayer is the practice of reaching a state of consciousness without thought. All right? Prayer is a practice of reaching a state of consciousness without thought. Now, in the beginning of prayer, yes, we're going to ask for the things that we want. Okay? But remember now, we're going to ask, taking it for granted, that the things we ask for are going to be ours. And monitoring that, what did I call it in the beginning? Monkey mind or monkey chatter. What did I say? Monkey chatter that's going on in our minds, okay? And so that's the beginning of the process. But you do reach a state of consciousness where you're in a state of consciousness without thought, okay? And this is a pure state of mind that the ego, where the ego is sequestered and thought dissolves as your mind reunites with God mind, okay? And we read in the revealing word, prayer is the most highly accelerated mind action known. It steps up mental action until our consciousness synchronizes with Christ's mind. So I know we need to find things that give us the motivation to spend time in prayer. Well, think about that. You're creating a highly accelerated action in mind, and you're working towards sequestering the ego so that your consciousness can synchronize with Christ's mind, all right? So prayer is the language of spirituality. And when developed, it makes us masters in the realm of creative thought. So when you pray, always remember the first flower, the Christ, is always sprouting in your mind. But its survival in your mind is based on your ability to perceive its presence. Jesus is always asking us the awakening question, the same question he asked the disciples. Who do you say that I am? And like Peter, we want to be able to perceive the flower, the Christ, and enthusiastically answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So let's begin this morning by finding that comfortable and quiet place. Place your feet flat on the floor and keep your spine as straight as is comfortable for you. Take a moment now and breathe and feel the loving presence of God moving in and through your life right now. Allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to soothe your heart and mind. I am the light of the world. God is blessing me now. In this holy instant, all is in divine order in my life. I rest in the presence of God. I am prospered, whole, and well. I am peaceful and enfolded in grace and wisdom. I am an expression of light and love. My life is filled with possibilities. I am willing to let go of limiting thoughts and embrace a happy life. I am prosperous, whole and well, and I claim my good in all areas of my life. Money is energy, and it flows in my direction. I breathe in peace. I breathe out and let go of all negativity. My relationships are harmonious, and I know that there is no waiting for God's love, as it is flowing in and through me now and always. Take a deep breath right here, and exhale. One more time, take a deep breath, and exhale. And now let's move to that secret place of the Most High. And as we reach the threshold of the door, we realize that to enter, we must become empty. So we let go of our emotional and mental baggage and our physical baggage, all that is no longer serving us. We step through the door, we take a seat, and now we take a few precious moments to commune with Spirit. We give thanks, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and you've answered them as you always do. We go forth this coming week in the knowledge and the wisdom that you are with us every step of the way and we are never alone. So now be at peace as you move back into your surroundings and into your day. And allow your day to be filled with peace, love, joy, and faith. And always remember that the Unity Center of Light is here for you. We say Amen in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, hon. Mm-hmm. So now is the time when we do our offering blessing. And hopefully many of you got a chance to see the YouTube that I sent out, sort of message from them, from me to all of you. We are very, very thankful for all of the wonderful offerings that come in. And they're coming in through PayPal. They're showing up in our mailbox at the office. And you know, coming through many different avenues, we really appreciate that. It's really an important time, you know, during this time that we're going through, that we sort of begun to understand the shift that has happened. One of the things I was saying in the YouTube that I sent out, message I sent out to everybody was, you know, virtual, I think we're getting used to virtual church because everything is virtual now. We are having virtual meetings. We are interacting with our relatives virtually,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Everything is virtual at this point. We're trying to get some work done here at the house, and even the people we're dealing with is like they're doing everything virtually before they actually come here to do the work. So it's just the way we are. But I think the transition that some of us are having a hard time making is the idea of virtual giving, that, you know, it's a whole different emotional impact when you're in church and you put your offering in the basket. And we understand that. We understand that it's different now. But we are asking you to, you know, make that sort of virtual transition to virtual giving, which many of you have. And again, we truly appreciate that. So with that in mind, we're going to do our offering blessing together. Together, we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings
as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And then also, let's do our Bless the Path together.
Yes, let's bless the path that we walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
Amen.
Amen.
And let's just say our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Okay, well, we really enjoy this, and we look forward to seeing you in Zoom, which is, we go right into that after this. If you have not been part of a Zoom session yet, it's something really to experience. You get to fellowship with a lot of folks and hear some great music and ask questions about, you know, the service. That's one of the things I really love about doing this virtually is, you know, church in a building, we never took time right after service if you had questions about the talk or wanted to share some ideas, but in a Zoom session, it's easy,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So please, you know, come and take part of that, and we will see you
in Zoom.
In Zoom.
Bye-bye.